Hello, my name is Chris Klingensmith, and I will be talking about the transferability of visible near-infrared models of soil fertility properties between two smallholder agricultural villages. So as the previous talks have demonstrated that there is a high demand for quantitative soil data, but most of this data is acquired in developed nations where these tests can be easily performed and data can be easily acquired. However, smallholder farmers in developing nations that could hugely benefit from this kind of data are restricted mostly by cost and resources, and maybe even education. So diffuse reflectance spectroscopy of the visible and near-infrared spectra offers a rapid and cheap means of soil analysis of soil properties, but it requires that an adequate calibration model be built. So then our research question becomes, how can a model that's calibrated in one area and can be applied to a similar area within the same region? So our objectives were to build a visible near-infrared diffuse reflectance spectroscopy prediction model using each study area for each soil property. This model was then validated using the local validation sample set, and then we assessed how the ease of transferability for each model to the other study area by comparing the validation and transfer prediction metrics. Some additional highlights for this research is that micronutrients are of high concern for smallholder farming setting in India. There have been few instances of available iron, copper, zinc, and manganese modeling in the literature. And as far as I can tell, this is the first attempt of modeling available boron spectrally. So we have two study areas. They're located in the semi-arid tropics of southern India. They're located about 300 kilometers apart. The primary soil types are vertisols, verdigris septisols, and septisols, and there may be some alpha sols. It's unclear from the soil maps that I acquired. But the parameter is similar, as well as the topography. So from each study area, we collected over 250 sample sites to the from the 0 to 15 centimeter depth. Masuti here on the left is about 37 square kilometers in extent. It is mostly irrigated with well and canal water. And it's hard to tell, but there's a canal that runs through the southwestern corner. And primarily here, they grow sugarcane and onion. Kotapali is our other study site. It's about 5 square kilometers in extent. Is mostly dryland agriculture with some well water irrigation, and the farmers there primarily grow cotton and grains. So our methodology for soil analysis, we analyze for texture, total carbon, organic carbon, inorganic, total nitrogen, the available macro and micronutrients. All these measurements were transformed to approximate normality, for the exception of clay, silt, sand, and organic carbon, which could not be transformed. For the diffuse reflectance spectroscopy, we scanned the soils in the visible near-infrared range, which is about 350 to 2500 nanometers at a resolution of 1 nanometer. Then we used these three spectral regions to avoid noise and detector artifacts. And then several pre-processing techniques were applied and tested. Actually, there were 40 in total that were applied. For the chemometric analysis, we split the data into a 70% calibration and 30% validation sets using four different subsetting methods. Then the measured properties were related to the soil spectra using partial least squares regression. This was done using the PLS package in R. We used a 10-fold cross-validation to determine the optimal number of latent variables from the PLSR model. And this was done based on the R-squared and root mean squared error. So the results here will be we're presenting here were deducted from a pool of over 2,500 models that were performed or were created for each area from the several combinations of spectral transformations and subsetting methods. And then we assessed the performance of the models on the validation set using R-squared, RPD, and RPAQ. And then for our transferability analysis, we then used a calibrated model from one site onto the spectral data set or the other site or other area. to predict the respective solar properties. We made sure to match the spectral transformations and data transformations. And this was also assessed using the R-squared, RPD, and RPIQ. So here are our results. This is for soil texture. So for our first site, Masuti, the larger one, going from that site to the smaller site, we see that our models for sand and clay predict relatively well. The R-squares are above 0.75. The one model that did not do well was silt. But we see that when we go from the validation site to the transfer site, that the bias, absolute bias, does increase as a result of the transfer transferability. And one of the reasons why the Masuti model here does do a better job than the Kotopali model is that we see that there's the Masuti, the range of values of clay for Masuti almost encompasses the same range as Kotopali. The same thing for sand. But when we try to transfer from Kotopali to Masuti, we do not see the same results. Our R-square is a little bit lower, as well as our RPD and RPIQ values also decrease. And we also have more bias in our predictions. Now moving on to the soil carbon. Soil carbon was in moderate best. Prediction results for Masuti were very well in the validation phase. But when we transfer this to the other site, other area, we see that our R-squares do drop drastically. And then going, looking at the Kotopali models, here the model results were not as strong as we see for Masuti. But if we look at total organic carbon transferred to Masuti here on the bottom, that the results are relatively the same. The model performance is approximately equal. So one other thing to look at is the range and values for both sites. The Masuti here has a larger range in carbon. Total carbon, organic carbon is slightly larger, and inorganic carbon. So that may be why it's able to predict well, or able to predict well for the site, but not when it transferred over to Kotopali. And then looking at the macronutrients, nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium, and sulfur, we have a mixed bag here. The results, the models performed well within their sites, but when they were transferred, they didn't transfer very well. And we see here that the range and values are much different, and this could be one of the reasons why this transferability did not work here. And macronutrients were the worst as far as transferability, with the exception of available zinc going from the Kotopali model transferred to the Masuti site. The values for the RPD, R-squared, and RPIQ are relatively the same, and the values for Masuti do encompass the values that we see in Kotopali. So our ease of transferability for these models from one site to another is the clay and sand performed well. Carbon and macronutrients were hit or miss relatively, and macronutrients and silt did not transfer well at all. By transferring models from one area to another, we did increase the absolute bias, as well as decrease our RPD and RPRQ. The range of data was obviously important in how well the models transferred. Like we saw that the clay and sand models for Masuti transferred well to Kotopali, but not vice versa. The one limitation of these models is that they don't take into account management or environmental variables. These may have an effect on the observed nutrient concentrations. So in one instance, Masuti has more available water resources. It allows for more continuous cropping, which we saw had a higher organic carbon concentration than in Cotopaxi. So in conclusion, transferring of diffuse reflectance models, diffuse reflectance spectroscopy models is possible for some soil properties, but is more difficult for others. Nutrients that don't transfer well will require model recalibration for each new area that they're transferred to. And this will be investigated using spiking to assess the minimum number of samples needed to improve the prediction, the model prediction. So we'll take small subsets from the transfer to area and put it into the calibration model and see how well that performs. And then we can also include these spectral models with other data sets and spatial or environmental covariates to help improve our predictions and improve our transferability. I would like to thank the staff at ICRISAT in Hyderabad, India for their support, the villagers, and my lab group. Thank you. Soil physical properties are a little bit harder to model using a spectra because that's a physical property, and once you take it out of the soil, you kind of destroy the physical structure. We didn't take any cores or anything because we did most of the work in India, and then the soils were processed there, and then a small subset was sent to us here in Florida for the spectral scanning. So we don't really have any water data, and India is a pretty data poor country as it is, so at this moment that could be estimated using DEMs and other topographic features or attributes. Yes? Yeah. Good. Anyway, yeah.
This specific case without even thinking about transfer. So, how does that compare to other literature relating the MIR to nutrient? How does your.
Some have been better and some have been worse. I can't say how accurate those models are or if the data was cherry-picked or anything like that. For soil phosphorus, I've seen very good results coming out of Florida. That could be just the nature of the soils there as well. But we will be incorporating these models, or try to incorporate at least some of the data into spatial models, include imagery, and those can also help with our nutrient predictions. It's kind of similar to principal component analysis or principal component regression. It breaks the data down into latent variables, and then you set the number of latent variables you want maximum. Then you can look at the R squared and root mean squared error for each latent variable. You usually try to pick it out where it starts to plateau and before it starts to degrade, and that's how you usually choose the number of latent variables to include in the prediction model. So it uses the Y data as your target property. It also includes that data as well as your spectra, principal component, which just look at the spectra by itself. So basically just it's a data reduction technique but with regression. You're reducing the model, the spectral feature space down from 2,000 bands to a few latent variables. computation, or computationally, yeah, it's complex. It's matrix algebra, basically.